All right, g'day Nabucastrians, welcome to your Jetstream podcast. We're covering both a review of the Round 20 clash against Adelaide at McDonald Jones Stadium and the upcoming Round 21 clash away to Melbourne Victory. I'm Ferns and I'm joined by two of my fellow podcasters, two long-time fellow podcasters. G'day Dr. Ram, first up.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And welcome back, Bodes, first time of the season.
Fuck off.
Well, getting the swears in early.
And the swears, yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I wonder if we should
put the tag on.
Yeah, I wonder
just
if
so everyone knows what they're here for.
Yeah, let's see. Bodes' debut is the episode title. All right. opening question before we get into talking about the game. It's probably going to take longer than what we actually have to talk about for the game. Em, what was the worst drink you... Well, that was a different question. What was the worst meal you ever paid for?
This one's a hard question for me. As a fatty, like, I'm not often going to let food go if I've paid for it. But instantly when you ask that question, sprang to mind the time I accidentally, first time I went to Denmark, I didn't know that salad rolls could come with caviar on them.
Really?
And I ordered just a salad roll, thought that was pretty safe, pretty standard. I was vegetarian at the time. And I bit into it, and all these little fish eggs exploded in my mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, it's off. And I, like, threw it down, and I was so angry. And then my husband was like, that's caviar you've just thrown on the floor, because I thought I was eating, like, fly eggs or something.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Was it an overly expensive salad roll?
It was a Danish salad roll, so it was pretty expensive because everything's expensive in Scandinavia. Huh. But I think that's the one time I've been like, nah, I've paid for that shit, but I'm not eating it because, you know, as a fatty, I will eat all the things.
That's a really weird local variation on something. It's salad. I didn't know fish eggs was classed as a salad.
Yeah, no, I was like, salad, that'll be safe for a vegetarian. And they were like, sure. Pump some fish eggs in there.
Yeah, I don't know. That gets into a whole ethical conundrum where, as a vegetarian, is fish eggs actually classed as vegetarian, or because they're a product of an animal, they're not?
Yeah, they were gross.
Bodes, what about you?
I had to think about it, and I've gone what the worst consequences of paying for it was. So about five, six years ago, at the time, it was Cardiff Panthers. I paid for a Caesar salad there, and I ended up spending 5 days in bed with food poisoning. So,
I was really hoping there was going to be a sweaty chicken reference in this anecdote.
Yeah, no, the chicken bombs I get in Wellington, they're not. I would pay more for them. but yeah, no, I'm going to go for the Cardiff Panthers Caesar salad. Yep, that's the worst meal I ever paid for.
No, okay. Well, I mean, we've paid for some really horrible buffets that have been fairly awful, but the only time we've ever paid for food and gotten sick from it was Cessnock Henny Penny. Quite a number of years ago. Yes, Henny Penny was awful.
Don't throw them under the bus.
No,
we need them to stay open forever.
Cessnock Henny Penny. It was a long time ago. It was like 30 years ago. I was like 15 at the time. But it was. I ate it, and then I was horrendously sick for 2 days. And when I moved back to the Hunter Valley about 2 years ago, I went back to Maitland Henny Penny to try it, and it was just as awful as I imagined, as I remembered. So, yeah, I've eaten Henny Penny roughly twice in my life. Both times were underwhelming. One time I got sick. So that would be mine.
I've never had Henny Penny or food poisoning, knock on wood.
Well, yeah.
You can knock those off in one hit if you like.
Once I thought I had food poisoning, but I think I was just hungover.
Mm. Well, you know, well, that yeah. Generally helps.
I was was it the dodgy kebab or all the beers?
No, food poisoning usually goes longer than one day.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I'm pretty old now. I can have multi-day hangovers since I turned 30.
All right, well, we've sort of delayed the inevitable long enough. We'll cross to the Fox Sports highlights, I say that in inverted commas, of a nil-all game between the Newcastle Jets and Adelaide United. Thanks to Fox Sports for the audio.
The Newcastle Jets are running out of chances to close the gap to the top six. Today, there is no better opportunity for them to put the heat on not just visiting Adelaide United, but also Melbourne City and the Wellington Phoenix as well. Kantorovsky. O'Donovan in a race against Jakobsen. Good first touch on the head from O'Donovan, and then he tried to lash it on the tight angle.
It's a deflection. I think he's got every right to hit that. He didn't really have support.
And Shepherd can't roll with the ball. Ryan Strain repelling and playing Goodwin into space. Can he go at speed, Goodwin? He can, hurdling over Bogard. On the tight angle, Goodwin rattles the woodwork. Can't get much closer than that.
Well, Bogard thought he had him because actually Goodwin had a little bit of a heavy touch, but he was quick enough.
Georgievsky. Champness with a deflection, and it needed a save.
Yeah, might have been dropping in. Big deflection. Izzo backpedaling, takes no chances. Probably was dropping in.
Kantorovsky knocking over Thomason, who's left prone. Adelaide will keep attacking, one short. Boland going for it from distance. And Glenn Moss made it look easy.
It just didn't have enough power on it, but good execution, to be fair to him. He hasn't really got the ball that often in good areas.
Jackson, great ball, and O'Donovan missed it. What a cross from Jackson. And Roy O'Donovan, stooping into the header, could not make contact.
Well, he should have. And Voyitsa hit a cross that O'Donovan probably should have scored in the first half. This one's even better.
Stoppage time is up, and the game is up. Is that Newcastle's season? They're going to need more favours, because they have dropped 2 points today, and Adelaide will feel as though they have dropped 2 points in their own battle for fourth and a home final.
Yeah, really scratching the bottom of the barrel there for highlights, I think. A game that's not really going to live long in the memory, but do you regard it as a point gained, considering how the other teams above us fared over the course of the weekend, or were you really looking to try and get 3 points from this?
Yeah, no, it doesn't live long in the memory, and especially since we've had so much football at home lately. I had to ask my boyfriend, I was like, who scored in this game? I'm about to do the podcast. And then he was like, no one scored. So, yeah, clearly forgotten a lot of the game. But it was underwhelming. But I think underwhelming is more embarrassing for Adelaide than it is for us. I mean, we were coming off a pretty hectic schedule with that attempted ACL group stage qualifying and the trip to Japan and back, and going into overtime in the game, the ACL qualifying match before that. And for us, it's not too embarrassing to be underwhelming at this point. But Adelaide were playing like they wanted a draw. And they're playing for, their position in the top four. So I think playing for a draw is much more embarrassing for them than it was for us.
Do you have a counterpoint to that, Bodes, or are you pretty much in agreement? I mean, Adelaide are pretty safe in where they're positioned on the ladder, I think. They probably edge ahead of City and Phoenix, especially considering how the games ended up over the course of the weekend. But do you think that that's a game that Adelaide will have wanted to try and get a win from?
Yeah, I'm sure they would have wanted to win. I'm going to take the point. As time has gone on from the game, I've definitely decided that it was a point gained. At the time, I probably thought it was 2 points lost. But the way, end of the day, coming off such a busy schedule, to get a point, I think, is probably not a bad outcome. And look, at the end of the day, both teams above us didn't win either. So it's not the worst outcome in the world.
Yeah, I mean, Em, that's a good point. I mean, we're sitting on 23 points. Wellington lost, sitting on 28. City lost, sitting on 29. So, I mean, there's not many games left. There were 7 games to go, and we're, 5 points out. But, I mean, looking at the run-in that City and Phoenix have, there's definitely other opportunities in the upcoming weeks for us to capitalise on points. But, obviously, we'll talk about the Melbourne Victory game in a minute, but we're going to need to make sure that we try and maximise whatever we get from here on in.
Yeah, look, it's going to keep shit exciting, isn't it? Like, if we were in the Mariners' position right at the bottom of the table with no chance, it would be pretty boring. And I guess if we were, in Sydney or Perth's position at the top of the table, it would also be a bit dull right now. So, at least we've got something to play for, and that does keep it interesting each week.
Yeah, we'll look at the Bodes. We'll have a look at the starting 11. Obviously, from the Kashima game, there was three changes made. Johnny Kaye was out with an injury. Voica came in for him. Joyer came in for, and Stevie Ugi was rested. He's played a lot of football in the last couple of weeks, and Vargas is out for a couple of weeks with an injury as well. So Shepherd came in. Were you happy with how we lined up, or were you thinking that maybe there was a couple more players in there that would probably have been just as affected by all the travelling, and we should probably maybe have made a couple more changes to freshen it up a bit?
I was happy with the changes, but I would have made one more. I would have started Nick Cowburn. I thought Nick had his best game against Melbourne City the week before, and I thought he deserved a start. So that would have been my only other change. But other than that, I was pretty happy with how they started.
What about you, Em? I was thinking that maybe one of the centre-backs probably do with the rest. I was thinking maybe Jackson can come in, and I also agree with what Bode said. I thought Cowburn should have come in for either Rodenton or Kanarovsky, probably Rodenton, because Kanarovsky has only just recently come back from an injury. But, I probably would have maybe thought that a team similar to what we saw against City, maybe with a few more of the experienced players in instead of throwing guys like Thurgate in there, would have been a better way to go. We might have seen a little bit more energy from the team, because that was something that was sorely lacking in this game from both sides.
Yeah, I'll admit that before the game started, when the list came out, I was pretty happy with it. But after seeing the game, I actually think Georgie should have had a rest. I don't think he was as on pace as he should have been, and I think he was part of the reason why we were a little bit lackluster.
Bodes, that's a good point. I actually thought Georgescu played a pretty good game, but he couldn't play the same game because obviously he was swapped onto the other wing to take the place of Johnny, and Voica took Georgie's place on the other side. He's supposed to be able to play either side, so we shouldn't really see much of a change, but obviously I think there was going to be some sort of effect with him usually playing on one side and then all of a sudden being chucked into the other side. How much of an effect do you think that had in his game?
No, I don't think it had that much of an effect. He's that versatile of a player. I think you could play him as a winger and he would probably do a good job. Georgescu is just one of those players that you can stick him anywhere in the field and he's going to give you 100%.
All right, fair enough. Again, obviously, Bodes, we'll stick with you. It was a nil all, so the defence didn't let a goal in. It's not really
well spotted, sir.
Yeah, there's not really a great deal of there wasn't really many opportunities in the game that we can really discuss. The one that we nearly conceded was obviously that run from Goodwin down the left hand side where Bugard went in for the sliding tackle and completely missed it, and Goodwin skipped over him, was away, and then rocketed a shot onto the crossbar. Really awesome. He was obviously the danger player that we picked out in the preview. That, you know, it was him and a couple of the other players, Thomason playing up front, and Kiddo on the other side. They were obviously going to be their three danger players. Obviously, Goodwin had one chance and nearly scored. He was one player that the Jets really needed to make sure, and that was one instance where Bugard got it all wrong and nearly paid the price for it.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, Goodwin's come back to the A-League with a point to prove, and I think this season he has proved it, especially when Cozzy said he needed to score more goals, and then he scored a double in the FFA Cup final. I thought that was unreal, but Goodwin's he's a high quality A-League player, and to be honest, he probably should have scored there. And Bugard's seriously lucky, because we'd probably be saying this week that it should be Jackson and Topper together if he was to make that sort of mistake. But yeah, look, the only real chance that I think from the game we could have taken was probably that Roy O'Donovan missed header from the Lockie Jackson cross.
Yeah.
Roy's just the last couple of weeks. I know he's scored against City, but he's having a barren run of form at the moment. I know he's scoring every couple of game, but some of the chances that you're getting are just gilt edge. He should be getting a hat trick some games.
Yeah, Em, that's a good point. Each team basically had one gilt edge chance, and both of them failed to capitalize. I mean, we have talked about it in a couple of previous podcasts where Roy's had a couple of opportunities, like Bode said, and he hasn't been able to convert. Is this a start of a worrying dip in form? I mean, he's only been back, you know, for 10 games, and, you know, usually a striker will go through a little bit of a barren period, during a season, but you would want to have hoped that with Roy missing for so long, he wasn't going to fall into that sort of slump at this point of the season when we really need him. Do we have to be worried about these chances that Roy's missing, or is it you know, he's scoring just about one in two anyway, so he's going to score a hat trick against Melbourne?
Yeah, I don't want to be a bitch, but I am a bitch, so I'm just going to go ahead. If you're going to call yourself a striker, you've got to be able to strike. And he got closer to taking Shepherd out than he got to scoring a goal at one stage. And for me, it's, you know, if that's what Hoffy or Georgie or, you know, one of the Kantorovsky or anyone else is bringing, maybe it's okay. But if you're the person who's hired and touted as going to be the man who scores goals, to me, that's not good enough. And to be even more of a bitch, if you can't score against Paul Izzo, who can you score against, to be honest?
And it's interesting, Em, that obviously we've been hearing over the last couple of weeks that the Jets have been negotiating contract extensions for some players. I haven't heard of any talk about re-signing Roy at the moment, and his contract's up at the end of this season. Is that something that you think is telling, or do you think maybe they're doing it under the radar and it'll probably be announced and we won't know until they announce it? Or do you think that maybe the club are taking a step back and looking at the 2 years we've had him, the times he's been missing? A one in two striker is good, but we're just not getting the return from him that we thought we were going to get.
Yeah, but he's going to come out and have a game against the Mariners and score another hat trick, and everyone will forget the rest of the season, so it won't matter when that happens. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes, but yeah, I think all it will take is a couple of goals in one game and people like me will forget again.
Would you re-sign him, and do you think we will re-sign him?
I wouldn't. I think you can't reward the 10 weeks off with another contract. I'm still not quite past that, I don't think. And I think he's a bit of a liability, and he hasn't performed well enough for me since he's been back from that to make up for it.
What about you, Bodes?
I would only re-sign him if I know full well that he's going to become an Australian citizen next year, which I think he is. So if he becomes an Australian citizen, I'd keep him because, yeah, he would be a handy player to have, even if we signed someone above him.
Yeah, I'm in two minds. I sort of agree with Em. I think the amount of time he's been missing, we need somebody who's going to be available. He's 100% effort. You can't fault you can't say that he just sits back and doesn't try. But you know, there's a fine line that you ride with that. And yeah, I think maybe if we can find, it all depends if we can find an alternative. If we can find an alternative, we'll sign them and he'll go. I don't know whether the visa thing changing to Australian citizenship will come into it, because I think it's more down to the amount of money we're paying him rather than him taking up a visa spot. I think if he was worth it, we would make it available. But yeah, I think he would be in line for a pay cut, and I don't know whether he'd take it. So it's definitely going to be interesting. Well, we will talk about the new contract extensions after we talk about the Melbourne Victory game. We'll go through, I mean, just to stretch it out just a tiny bit more, and we'll go through a couple of the stats. 54% possession to the Jets, 46% to Adelaide. Interceptions 10 to 11, one offside, 5 corners for the Jets, 10 corners to Adelaide. They really didn't do much with those. 441 passes to the Jets, 351 to Adelaide, 73% passing accuracy for both. With 15 crosses, Adelaide had 29. 10 shots to 13, only 2 of those on target for each team. 4 block shots to 7. 5 shots outside the box to 3. Yeah, so everything in that stats column really just points to 0-0. It was pretty even. One team had a couple more set pieces than the other one, but there was really, again, like we've discussed, it was really no cutting edge.
Yeah, I really felt like Adelaide weren't playing to win. Maybe we were trying and didn't really have the grunt, but I didn't really feel like Adelaide were putting in 100% with that game, but yeah, those stats say it all. It's pretty even and very limited shots on target, so very little to really, you know, get your teeth sunk into for that performance. But, you know, maybe that's what you can expect after a hectic schedule on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, Bode's the... I mean, what do you put it down to? Do you put it down to some mental fatigue, some physical fatigue, a combination of both? Misplaced passes, there just wasn't the energy, a combination of all of that? What do you put the performance down to?
A mix of both fatigues. And I think in the last 20 minutes, I think Adelaide just decided they were happy for a point and just stuck 11 men behind the ball, I think. And it, I guess it was up to the Jets whether they were going to do something about it. In the last 10 minutes, they probably did try. And it, I guess we had that big gilt-edged chance to Roy that on most occasions he scores. So, yeah, look, I think, just a mix of fatigue and just the way Adelaide set up in those last 20 minutes.
And the other interesting thing I suppose we should probably quickly touch on was this is the first game that we're going to be without Vargas for a little bit. So Dimi was in the number 10 position. Again, I mean, we saw it earlier when Vargas was out for a little bit. We only had Dimi available. That the opposition tends to, if there's not the other attacking threats, they'll tend to gang up on Dimi and close down his passing lanes. And he's taking two, three. I mean, we talked about it in the post-match. Joel and I talked about it in the post-match video. It just seems that when Dimi's got to think about what he's got to do, taking one, two, three passes, he's thought too long, and then the defence is set and he's just got nothing available. He's got to pass back. It seems to be he gets the ball and passes it straight away without thinking. It's usually the best option, and it's usually the right option. But he just doesn't seem... I don't know whether he doesn't seem to trust himself or whether he's been told he needs to think about what he was doing because there was too many misplaced passes. Which way do you look at his performance? Would you be happy with him trying those sorts of balls and them not always coming off, but when they do come off, it's usually going to lead to something? Or... You know what? How can Dimi get himself out of this little issue that he seems to have cropped up? Because he was, you know, almost untouchable last season, and this season he's really he's really struggled to find some form.
I think with Dimi, it's just for him. He's last year teams didn't know how to play us, and a lot of them would press and they would play on the possession and. And we just and Dimi did most of his damage on the counter in open space. This year, teams are now sitting back knowing that we're excellent on the counter attack, and we're just not being allowed to do it. And Dimi's just not getting the same amount of space. I still think he's creating enough chances. I just think it's not coming off as much as it did last year because Dimi had miles of space to do what he liked, really.
And Emma, would this be the reason why Ernie's decided to change the tactics for this season and we've tried to play a more expansive form of football because he knew that we're not going to be able to keep playing that counter-attacking football because the teams are just going to sit back and let us have the ball and we're not going to be able to counter-attack? Is this sort of the reason why, A, Ernie's tried to change the way we play, but B, it hasn't really come off because we don't necessarily have the players to change the way we play?
Yeah, look, I get the argument for change because you don't want to become predictable, and we were getting in a situation where Dimi was getting marked out of games. But I think we've gotten to the point where Dimi's getting frustrated. It's not working for whatever reason, not necessarily because he's getting marked out of the game anymore, but there's something still not quite right about the flow and the structure for him to work within the team, so he's not getting that kind of chemistry he had last year. And I think this game you could start to see that he was getting frustrated. He's not really a guy who shows a lot of emotion in his face or body language, and there were a couple of times where I thought it was becoming very apparent he wasn't feeling very comfortable in the situation. And I think he got a card this game, which is very unlike him. Mm. So, yeah, I think that's a bit telling, and I hope whatever's up gets better soon.
Well, Bode's putting your cap on as an A-League coach in waiting. What would you do to tweak things to make us a little bit more dangerous? Because it just at the moment it just seems to be a bit sterile, and we're trying to play a way that's not really working. We sort of went back to that counter-attacking style against City, and it did work for a game. But from what you said, that you know, that might work for that because City are going to try and come at you, but other teams that are just going to take the tactical approach, sit behind the ball, we've got to come up with a way of getting around that.
Yeah, look, if I was to put my coaching hat on, I think I think you got to do one of two things: change the personnel drastically, like we did against City, or change the formation. We've played the exact same formation now for 2 years. It's obvious 85% of teams have worked out how we play when we're at our fullest strength. So, yeah, look, I would, it's one of the two. You got to do a big personnel change or change the formation. Yeah. I don't know which one it is, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big personnel change is sort of something you can only really do effectively at the end of the season, because then you're going to be relying on bit part players that haven't played all that much, because Ernie doesn't tend to rotate his squad all that much unless they're injured or woefully out of form, and even then, most of the time he'll play them anyway. But yeah, if you look, I mean, and that was the trap we possibly set ourselves when we re-signed 90% of the players that did so well last year. I mean, trying to do the same thing again or trying to tweak what they were doing is might not necessarily come off, and then we've seen what happens.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. All right, well, was there any other points we want to talk about on this game? Em, did you have a man of the match? And any other points you wanted to raise?
I'm going to go with Topper Stanley for man of the match. He was definitely making an effort to, corral the rest of the team at several points. That was very apparent. And I think he is in a situation where he's saving Boog's butt more often than not. So I think he deserves some credit for that.
Bodes?
I'm going to go Topper Stanley too. Not just so much, not for all the game, but for the fact he's man of the week because he's been re-signed. So, Topper.
All right, well, I'll go Topper as well. And then we can launch into talking about the re-signings before we get to the post-match press conference and then get to the preview for the victory game. Bodes, I mean, you brought it up first, or you discussed it first. So Topper Stanley re-signed, two more seasons. Was that a little bit longer than what you thought? I thought it probably would have been a 12-month thing rather than a two-year deal.
I'm usually one for, in A-League, giving players, unless they're young enough and coming, giving them one-year contracts. But in this case, I'm going to say Topper Stanley deserves it. And I don't see any slowing down for him, barring any major injuries. And I think he deserves it. I think these last 2 years have been his best in a Jets shirt, and that includes his first stint here. So I think he obviously looks after his body very well. And, yeah, I'm super stoked he's staying for two more years.
Yeah, it was really weird, and when Topper first left, we all thought he was done for, but he's gone and rejuvenated himself at Wanderers, and then he's come back and gotten even better. It's a real it's a real renaissance for him, and that contract extension is a just reward for that, and we've got our three central defenders all re-signed.
Yeah, which is interesting. I thought that we were going to lose one of them. I'm glad he's staying. Make him captain next.
Well, yeah, that's true. Who knows how long Boogs is going to have that for, but Boogs is signed for at least... Did Boogs re-sign for another 12 months?
Or 1 year.
1 year, yeah. We'll see what happens. And the other one, M, that also came out was Glenn Moss re-signing. That was another interesting one, given the talk around town that he was looking to move into coaching. Do you think that... That sort of re-signing of Moss is maybe going to be looking at training with Italiano to get him to step up into the number one, and Moss will be more of a number two next season? Or how do you see how the Moss re-signing works?
Yeah, I think that's probably how it's going to go down, that Moss is going to use this as a seamless transition into coaching. And I think that's good for Italiano. I think they're a great pair. I think Italiano's got the skill and the youthfulness and needs the guiding hand. And I think that him and Moss clearly have a good relationship, and he's going to be more than happy to pass the baton and lift him up when the time comes. But I'm not sure whether it will happen beginning of next season or, you know, throughout the season, but I think it'll probably happen.
I'm going to chime in. I actually think the one who's going to take Italiano's spot is Noah James. I think he's the one in the club that they talk high about, and he's played for the young Socceroos. I think Noah James is the one to watch out for.
Yep. Well, you think that's more of a medium-term project, though? You probably won't see him for at least another two seasons.
Yeah, I think potentially by the end of Moss's contract, if they sign Italiano for another year and look to get Noah in as soon as possible, at the end of the day, the only way a goalkeeper is going to get better is by playing games. So I'd be happy to see a local boy get a go.
Just talking on Moss, Bodes, I think we're all a little bit disappointed when Jack Duncan left at the end of last season, and we were wondering whether Moss was going to be able to step up, considering he had been around for a fair while, but he's really stood up this season and performed really well as the number one. It's just, I think I said in a previous podcast, it's a real shame that his real upswing in form's come along fairly late in his career, so maybe he's not at a point now where he can capitalize on that form with a move to a bigger league with a bit more money and get a final payday. Do you think that might be in his future, or you think he's already looking past his playing future and
maybe the fact that he's jumping into coaching, I think, proves that. And look, at the end of the day, Ante Kovic won the Asian Champions League when he was 40 years old. Goalkeepers play late age. Mark Schwarzer won the Premier League when he was 42. It's just, it happens.
All right, too easy. Okay, so what we'll do now, we'll jump to the post-match press conference from Ernie Merrick, again, thanks to Fox Sports, and then we'll come back and chat over the Melbourne Victory game.
We did. The boys were very tired. I think we missed another clever player in attacking midfield like Ronnie, and going to miss Jason up front. But considering what the boys have been through, I thought they fought right to the end. We created a couple of chances. They created a couple of chances. A draw was probably a fair result. That means we're 1 point closer to the sixth spot, which is 5 points away from us, so we're creeping in the right direction, and survived this horrendous schedule, but it eases off from here on.
You could have come within 3 points, though.
I think the boys are very disappointed about that. It's like we've lost, but knowing that we got another point out of it and that we're going to be a bit fresher next week, then we get a 2 week break before a home game against the Mariners, you've got to have a very positive outlook.
You mentioned no Ronnie. I think the early diagnosis was 3 weeks. Is that still the case?
Hard to say. I mean, now Demi, if he's marked, we've got to have someone else capable of playing that attacking midfield role, coming through not in a 10 role but in an 8 role, and taking the pressure off of Demi and being able to place forward passes to our strikers, and we sort of struggled with that a bit today. But having said that, it was a great effort by the boys. They really worked hard the whole game.
Is the loss of Ronnie, is that going to maybe change style a bit for you going forward? And how you...
No, we're trying to play the same style. When you play against Adelaide, it's a very tough game. They drop into their own half and they play very much a counter-attacking game, which has worked well for them. I think they've lost a couple of players with pace, Malusnic and Halloran. But they're very hard to play against. You don't get many chances against them. And if you give away the ball, they counter you very quickly. So we coped with it. We coped with it really well. But I don't want to change our style of play, because that's our strength. It's what got us to the grand final last year. It's what excites the crowd. But it was very difficult to excite the crowd with that style of football today.
Tomo Stanley looked pretty fresh considering he's played the last three games.
I think he's a machine. I don't know how Topor does it. He's just incredible. Nigel, the two of them were rock solid at the back, the two of them, but Topor seemed to cover more distance. And the back four was solid with Ben in front of them. It was midfield play could have been better. But, of course, our midfielders have done the most running over the last few days, and that some of them played in that 120-minute game against the Indonesian team, Persija. I knew that Matt wouldn't last long. We'd prepared Steve to come on and I have to juggle who's going to be ready to go next week. But our midfield are very tired. That includes Demi as well. But Topper Stanley's incredible. He's just, and he never is on the physio's bench. Never. He just looks after himself. He's a true professional.
I think he's your only player that's played every minute of every game.
It's time I dropped him then. Can't break a record. No, he has. He's just so reliable. Never complains. No matter. And the same with Nigel. If I say, how are you guys feeling? Great. If he had a broken leg, Dopper would say, I'm fine as well. So to have two at the back like that, and Glenn, who's so solid as a goalkeeper, who was brilliant over in Japan, it's the foundation of our team, those three experienced players.
Tough job now to freshen up the side.
Yeah, lighter training this week. I'm going to give the boys, we play on Saturday in Geelong against Victory, so they'll have off, they'll fly back Sunday, they'll have Monday and Tuesday off, and we'll train again on Wednesday. The following weekend there's no game, and then the following weekend it's at home, fortunately, against the Mariners. So we're more or less in a home away sort of run now, and that's good for us.
You can look at that a bit more positive than
me, I mean, we could so easily have died today and given up and conceded a goal, and that would have been doom and gloom. But there's still a lot of fight left in us, and as I say, it's one more point closer with seven games to go.
How much has a week like you've had to take out of the girls?
I mean,
you've had to fly to Japan, play a game, fly back, play another game.
It certainly has been tough. We had a four. We went on the flight that we wanted on the way over because it was a day flight, so we were in our best condition when we got there, as best as we could be. But coming back, we had to deal with an overnight flight and a four-hour stopover in Seoul. And then you get into Sydney and you think you're there, and then there's another 2.5-3 hours to come up here. And so it's been very tough, but having done all that, I think we're stronger for it and better for it. And we're only going to get fresher and fresher now. And if there's one team that's coming good at the right time of the year, it's us, compared with some other teams that are really struggling. I mean, that's another game that we haven't lost. So in the last few games, I think we've only... I can't remember the last game we lost. Was it against Perth? And that was probably the last game we lost. So we're doing well. And I need a beer.
All right, well, that was Ernie's thoughts there after the game that everyone's going to probably forget about as quickly as they can to move on to the next one. All right. On Saturday afternoon, 5:35 p.m. It's the late game actually. It's going to be the one on Channel 10, 7:50 p.m. kickoff at. I'm not going to go through the current sponsor's name. It's Cardinia Park at Geelong. The Jets travelling away. Recent form, Melbourne Victory in the last six have had 2 wins, 3 draws, and a loss. We've had 3 wins, 2 draws, and a loss. Melbourne Victory currently sitting third on the ladder with 38 points, 1 point behind Sydney FC on 39, and 8 points behind bloody Perth, who look like they've pretty much wrapped it all up. And we're, again, like we said before, currently sitting on 23 points, Wellington, the next team above us, on 28, and we are ahead of Western Sydney Wanderers, who are on 17. Bodes, this is going to be an interesting trip. I don't have any major stats, so I'm really relying on the A-League website for a lease, and they're not anywhere near as good as bloody as Dave's stats. They're not anywhere near as comprehensive. We generally don't travel too well away to Melbourne Victory. There's obviously been a couple of standout moments across the 13 years of the A-League, but. I'm struggling to be positive about this game because just the way we've been playing and the way Melbourne Victory have been playing, we really want to try and get maximum points from this game, but at this point in time, I would probably be happy with a point.
I'm the opposite. I'm positive about this one, and this goes back to the tactical point of things. Melbourne Victory are going to try and attack us, and that's going to allow us to play an open transition and be able to counter. So, yeah, I'm actually more confident about this than I probably was the Adelaide game, just on the pure basis that Melbourne are going to try and attack us, and if we can hold them at that end, we can counter.
What about you, Em? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx us with both being confident, but they got a red card last match. Niedermeyer's going to be out. They got several yellows last match, and so did City. So... to me, that says a little bit undisciplined at the moment. Mm. So I think that means we've got our chance to actually come in and do what the Jets do best and win games we're not meant to win.
So going through the pre-match preview, the last four games at the Geelong venue say 17 goals scored with no side yet to keep a clean sheet. So looks like that there might be might be goals in this fixture. We won our last away clash 5-1 against the Wanderers. It's been almost 12 months the last time we won a match outside of New South Wales. So Bodes... Yeah, there's some positive.
I'm staying confident.
You're staying confident.
Don't get to me.
I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm playing devil's advocate. It's what I have to do. Victory have won both previous clashes between us this season, including a 2-1 win in Melbourne back in round 13. James Troisi, who scored the winner on that game, will play his 100th A-League game in this match. Melbourne Victory have won their last three A-League games on the bounce against Newcastle, longest winning streak of either team in the history of this fixture. Newcastle Jets have scored 26 goals in the second half this season, four more than any other side in the A-League. Jets striker Roy O'Donovan has scored three goals in his last four Hyundai A-League games, including a brace in his last away game. However, Victory is the only club against whom O'Donovan has yet to score. Does that make you feel worse or better, Emma?
Stop trying to kill us with stats.
There's not really much. I can't really get into too much else.
Yeah, but...
What are they saying to you?
You know, we do have that history of losing games we should win and winning games we should lose. So I'm with Bodie. I think we've got a chance at this. I think if we go in and shake them up. And I think if we go in with the attitude, we've got nothing to lose, similarly to what we did in that game against City a few weeks ago. I think if we do that, then we have as good a chance as any.
Bodes, how big is the six-day break finally going to be when we're not playing three games in the space of a week? We'll actually be able to rest, recover and prepare properly. That's going to make a big impact. We'll hopefully see a little bit more energy in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. I dare say Ernie probably gave the boys a couple of days off to start the week, and hopefully they come refreshed, rejuvenated, and, yeah, hopefully ready to get the 3 points in Geelong.
And if there's one side Ernie Merrick knows how to prepare against, it's going to be Melbourne Victory, or does he? How much of an insight does Ernie really have, considering they don't really play the same way that they played when he was there?
Well, yeah, that's all right. I was going to say Kevin must get outsmarted Ernie Merrick in the grand final last year. So, I'll be interested to see the tactical battle on the weekend.
That's a bit generous to say that he outsmarted Merrick.
I would say VAR outsmarted us. I wouldn't say he got very lucky. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty, yeah. Oh, we've been through this. We can't go through this grand final again. It sucked the first time. all right. Em, what changes would you make from the starting lineup from the last game against Adelaide? Do you think we'll go with the same, or do you think we'd be looking at bringing a few different faces in? Would Stevie UG be looking to make his return? Would you keep Shepherd in? Would you keep Voyitzer in? Would Jair stay in? What changes are you going to make, and what's your starting 11 going to look like?
If I am God, then Ugarkovic comes back in, and Redenton has a rest on the bench. Voyitzer's probably going to get a rest if I was God as well. And I want some way to bring Joey back into the team, but I'm not sure who I'd get rid of. No, I'd put Roy on the bench, because sod him. He can stew on the bench for a little while and then come on and score three from the bench.
What about you, Bodes?
I'm taking the Melbourne City approach. I'm putting mobile and speed on the pitch, so Jair probably gets another go. Dimmy's probably going to start as well. And I'd be looking to play. I'd probably have to drop Shepherd, even though I've been really impressed with him, and I probably would give Joey Champness a start. I think we need to get fast players on the ball and who can get in behind. So yeah, Roy starts as well.
Yep, so you'd be looking at... I would probably be keeping Voyitzer, especially if Katrumbas isn't going to be back, which I don't know whether he will. We won't know until the squads come out after this podcast gets released. So whatever we say may be negated by, the squad list coming out later on today. yeah, I'd be looking at the same back four, five that we saw against Adelaide. I agree with them. I'd be bringing Stevie Ujita back in to partner Kanarovsky. And then, yeah, Jair, Roy, Champness and Dimmy. What do you reckon, Em?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I agree.
You agree? All right. Bodes, what about the bench? Would you be Cowburn, Rydenton, Thurgate? Who do you think we should be looking at for the bench?
Yeah, probably Jackson and the keeper. That's fine. I'm happy with that.
Is there enough attacking options with that, though?
Who've you got? Oh, Shepherd. You'd have to. Yeah, Shepherd on the bench.
Shepherd on the bench.
Yep. Shepherd and Thurgate. That's good options.
Yep. Yeah, it just means that probably either Rydenton or Cowburn are gonna have to miss out. That's gonna be the only bummer in that. But yeah, I would probably. I mean, Rydenton's played a fair bit of football in the last couple of weeks. But being a visa player, I don't know whether Ernie's going to drop him completely out of the squad. But yeah, interesting to see. Obviously, Bodes, the Melbourne Victory have a plethora of talent in their squad. The aforementioned James Troisi, Honda's back. He wasn't in the last game that we played against them. Barbarousis. So there's our defence that didn't let in a goal last game is really going to have to be working hard to make sure they don't let in a goal this game.
Yeah, obviously you can't compare Adelaide's front group to Melbourne Victory's front group, like Toivonen, Honda, Troisi. Yeah, it's just Barbarousis. Yeah, look, at the end of the day, on their day, I think Melbourne Victory probably are the best team in the league just on talent, but at the end of the day, it's the A-League and anyone can beat anyone.
What about you, Em? Who's the one player that they're probably going to have to mark? Are we going to go the obvious choice and look at Honda, or are you thinking something a little more outside the box to close them down?
Nah, Honda's done. Honda's had his day. Like, that ship sailed. I think he's going to be entertainment value, glam value, but I don't think he's going to be the actual threat. I don't think he'll play a whole game again. I think he's going to either start on the bench or he's going to start and get subbed. I'm glad we don't have to worry about Niedermeyer. I think our biggest worry is Thomas.
You literally stole my next question.
Oh, sorry. No, well, obviously, right. He doesn't need marking, but he's... Yeah. He's going to be very difficult to get past. He's a very good keeper. And I think, yeah, I guess our defence keeping Barbarousis down and the midfield neutralising Troisi, I think, is probably the key. But, yeah, I think Thomas is our biggest problem.
Where's the areas of opportunity, Bodes? Where are Victory weak, if anywhere?
Wherever Lee Broxham is on the pitch.
Is that why he's usually on the bench?
Oh shit! Okay. Okay. Well, maybe their halftime oranges will be poisoned. Yeah. Look, I think on memory, Corey Brown probably is probably their weak spot. And yeah, but other than that, they haven't got that many weak spots, to be fair.
Yeah, they are pretty strong. Are pretty strong across the board. All right. Well, probably not much else we can do to preview this apart from get the tips. Bodes, what do you think is going to be the result in this game?
I'm going high scoring. I'm going Jets 3-2.
Ooh, okay. Em?
Yeah, I'm still optimistic, but not as optimistic as Bodes. And what I'm actually going to tip again is a 1-1 draw.
I will take a 1-1 draw if you offered it to me now. I'm going to be bullish. I'm going to be bullish and say really crap, and I would take it any day of the week, a crap 1-0 victory over the Victory. I don't care how we do it. I would take a 1-0 win and a really crap game, but so long as we get the 3 points, that's all that matters. All right, we'll quickly cover off the rest of round 21 before we wrap it up. Friday night, 7:50 kickoff sees Sydney taking on Adelaide. Bodes, what do you reckon is going to be the score here? This one's being played at Leichhardt Oval.
Sydney 2-0. I'm not impressed with Adelaide. I'm not actually quite sure on the last couple of weeks how they're in the top four.
They are very inconsistent, so they're probably due to actually win. What do you reckon, Em? What's the score going to be?
Yeah, I'm with Bones. It hurts me to tip Sydney, but Adelaide have been all over the shop, so yeah, I'm not putting my money on them. I'm going to go 1-0 to Sydney.
Yeah, I'll go a 2-1. 2-1 win, Sydney FC over Adelaide United. All right, Sunday sees... It's a split round this week, actually. So Sunday... Oh, God, boys dropping stuff in the background.
That was me, sorry.
That's all right. Sunday sees Melbourne City hosting Perth Glory, 5 p.m. kickoff. Em, what do you reckon the score's going to be?
I reckon Glory have got this, but I think it's going to be an entertaining and high-scoring match. I'm going to go 3-2 to Glory.
Boats?
Yeah, I'll go Glory, but I'll go 2-1.
All right, I think Melbourne will fall apart in this game, and I think this will be Warren Joyce's last game in charge. I think it'll be at least a 3-0 win, if not a Bodie special. All right, so we will cover off the rest of the round in the review, because it's a split round this week. Brisbane and Wanderers and Mariners and Wellington are playing the following weekend. This is a split round, so we are off for a week after we play this game. So we will get the rest of the tips for that when we do the review, which will be out Tuesday. Any other news and anything else we need to go over, guys, before we wrap it all up?
Nope. None for me.
Em, I can't think of anything else that's popped up in the news lately.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else, but I'm have a sieve for a brain at the moment, so that doesn't mean there isn't anything, but, you know, people can tweet us if we've missed something.
Yep, that's absolutely right, and if we do miss talking about it, we will talk about it in the review on Monday, which will be out on Tuesday. All right, well, that pretty much wraps it up, I think. Thanks very much for listening. You can get in contact with us if you want to hit us up on the socials at JetStreamNewey, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us podcast@newcastlefootball.net. You can get on the forums at newcastlefootball.net as well. If you listen through the website and you want to subscribe to the podcast on your phone, newcastlefootball.net/podcast has all the subscription links. That's it. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. Thanks, Bodes, for coming back on. Hopefully we'll see you again this season.
Well, it was good to make my debut, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Em, thank you very much as well, especially considering your busy schedule.
Thank you, fans.
No problems at all. All right, thanks very much, guys. Like I said, we will speak to you on Tuesday to talk about the Melbourne Victory game. In the meantime, vamos el Jerkoff.
Hello.
Go the Jets.
And, oh, serendipity. You've got Simpsons going on in the background, so I don't even need to come up with a quote.
I do. Already got started, mate.
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
Yep. Well, I'm down, Benjamin!